I'll say it again. You know, there are just certain things that help you tell the time of the current season of the year that we're in. And what reminds me most about the month of June, it is the NBA Finals. Yeah, to me, it's just, you know, you got the summer coming in. It's down to the final two teams of the NBA season. You know, it's a perfect world for me, you know. It truly is. What's going on, guys? This is your host, B.O. Dita, here with you. Welcome on into 94 Feet. Man, oh man, it has been a long time since I've been on here with you guys. And I'm just keeping sure with you. Just been busy. A lot of things going on. A lot of different things I just been working on. Been traveling a lot. A lot of time spent with family. A lot of different things just moving around. But life is good. I can't complain, man. And I hope each and every one of you guys are doing well. As always, I thank you for tuning in to another episode of 94 Feet. Got a couple things I want to share here with you today. Have a bit of an abbreviated show just due to to some of the busyness here on my end, but I'm here. We're going to go ahead and dive right on into what is on my mind today, guys. So let's get into it, man. Obviously, like I opened up the show, I talked about we're into the NBA Finals between the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. Just wanted to take a picture here of what we saw in Game 1, you know, what exactly transpired. So in my own personal opinion, obviously, I think the Heat, they played like they were scared. Yeah, I hate to say it, but they played like they were scared, guys. I saw plenty of different guys on the Heat that were passing up shots, you know, afraid to take open looks. I mean, just multiple passes. I'm just like, that's not the typical Miami Heat team that we're used to seeing, especially when you think about what we just saw in the series prior with them against Boston. Too many guys passing up open shots. Then the next thing I'll say is they got to figure out a way to make things difficult for somebody like Jamal Murray, for Nikola Jokic. There's no way really of stopping them. These guys are stars, right? There's really no way of you're not going to keep them from scoring, you know, because they're just too great. But that's why, you know, key in here, my warden, you have to find ways to make things difficult for them. That's very important. So I think the Heat, you know, they're going to have to definitely look at their defense, see what else they can mix up. They're obviously running with a small lineup. Bam Adebayo really is their only big. You know, Cody Zeller, he got on the floor for a little bit, and he probably shouldn't have when you think about the fact that Jokic pretty much handled him as if, you know, it was any other 6'5 guard that guarded him for the rest of that night on that Miami Heat team. So, you know, the Heat, they got their hands full in terms of being able to keep, you know, those two under wraps, and more so Jokic, I think, is the main factor that presents some difficulty for them matching up. As it relates to Jimmy Butler, too passive, guys. I think he was just too passive. I mean, you know, he's got to look to score more. He's got to look to get to the basket. He's got to be aggressive. There were just moments, I guess, where I looked at him and I'm just like, where are you? where is the Jimmy Butler that's, you know, that we know as that closer? You know, I didn't see that same mentality, you know, and I think it's off and on with him sometimes. He's not always like that, but definitely, like I said, him and that whole Heat team, I just saw too many guys passing up open shots. I give a lot of credit to Bam Adebayo. He played well. Gabe Vincent, he shot well from New York. I know guys like Max Strus and Duncan Robinson, all right, they had a little bit of a rough game, but, you know, they'll bounce back. I'm not really too concerned. There are reports that Tyler Hero could make his return, but we still have to question, obviously, his conditioning. We don't know what he's going to look like at this moment. I mean, he hasn't played since, what, the first round of this series when they played against the Milwaukee Bucks. So we'll have to see, you know, if there's anything he can add, you know, to this team. Now, the Nuggets, I mean, they were just rolling. The Nuggets, they went out there and they performed, you know, in the fashion that I expected them to do so. You know, they get excellent production from all their role players. You know, I felt that coming into this series, they were well matched in all positions. You still got Nikola Jokic in the interior so you got Nikola Jokic in the interior. You have a champion in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He obviously won a championship with the Lakers in 2020 in the bubble. Michael Porter Jr., he's back. He looks healthy. His back is well. It looks like it's in good condition. We know he's had struggles with that in the past. You know, his ability to be able to shoot from outside as well, you know, has been a huge factor. He stands at 6'10", guys. Don't forget, Michael Porter Jr. is 6'10". You know what I'm saying? He's not the greatest defender, but he can defend. You know, he had a couple big plays that I saw him make against the Miami Heat as well. So, I mean, you know, they got their hands full, man. You got Aaron Gordon, who's done a great job in terms of taking a lesser role since he's been on this team. When he was in Orlando, don't forget, he was looked at more so as a primary option, especially offensively. You know, and coming here last year, you know, obviously they needed more offense from him. Guys like Jamal Murray, we're still making our way back in terms of a full recovery from that ACL tear that he had 2 years ago. You know, with him being back, you still got Jokic, Michael Porter Jr. You know, that means less shots for guys like Aaron Gordon. But I think he's done an excellent job in terms of coming out there and just, you know, taking on a lesser role. He does the dirty work. He crashes the boards. He defends. So I give a lot of credit to him as well. Jamal Murray, he's a star in this league, guys. He is a star in this league, including Nikola Jokic. I mean, Nikola Jokic, he may not be the most greatest defender, but his ability to pass the ball, his ability to see the floor, his ability to create, to score. I mean, he does it from all angles. And he's not the most fastest guy, but he gets it done. He gets it done. And he is a load to handle. He is a load to handle anywhere on that offensive floor. You take a guy like Jamal Murray, who's got such a fiery edge to him, and his ability pretty much, you know, he can light it up at any minute. Same thing. I mean, he can get to the basket. He can shoot. I was just watching a quick snippet, guys, on the NBA.com website. Kessler Edwards, who plays for the Utah Jazz, had interviewed Jamal Murray and asked him, you know, how is it, you know, that you're able to get by your defenders, or, you know, he said, how can you be stopped? And Jamal Murray pretty much said, you know, I pretty much just read, you know, how's the guy playing me? Is he up close? You know, am I able to get to the basket? Is he far off? Is he playing off me? And I just react accordingly. He said, well, I'm not going to give you all the tactics to be able to stop me. I mean, that wouldn't be smart, obviously, considering I'm in an NBA Finals. But again, I mean, when you listen to that kind of stuff, what does it also show you? It shows you a guy who knows his game. It shows you a guy who understands basketball, who's not out there just dribbling the ball and trying to throw it through the hoop, but somebody who understands tactics, somebody who understands technique, somebody who studies the game, you know, who studies his defender and studies, you know, what's going to be the best way to be able to overcome, you know, depending on what the matchup is that night. So, you know, this Miami Heat team, they got their hands full. And I think they know that. I'm not saying anything that they don't know. I mean, I'm just kind of reiterating, again, what we've seen. They got a great supporting cast. Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, Christian Brown coming off the bench for you. I mean, all these guys pretty much come in and they do what they're supposed to do. My finals prediction before this series even started, I said Nuggets win it in six. And I'm going to stick with that. I still think that the reason why I'm going with that, I think the Miami Heat can crack out at least two wins. The Miami Heat, they play very disciplined, you know, and I know they didn't look good in that game one, but that's the one thing. The Miami Heat, they play very disciplined and they play hard. And that's the reason why they were able to get by that Boston team in the fashion that they did. I think it shouldn't have gone seven games. Obviously, you know, there were some things that they let slide. You talk about the way game six ended. That was a miracle, you know, that Derek White got that shot off in the fashion that he did. And, you know, he just happened to be in the right place at the right time when the ball comes off the rim. But this Miami Heat team, I think when you play discipline, I think, you know, with their style of play, you may not win series, but you can win games. You know, so I think, like I said, that they could win at least two games. I believe it takes stars to be able to win series. And the Nuggets, they got two of them. Jimmy Butler, I don't know if that's enough to be able to overcome this Denver Nuggets team. And like I said, they have some really great supporting cast and some great role players. I mean, that's another thing as well. But, yeah, guys, I'm sticking with my original prediction. I'm going Nuggets in six. So that's what I got for you. Moving on to the next thing that's on my mind, guys, that I wanted to touch on tonight is the Boston Celtics. You know, and I just started to bring them up here in my last segment. We know, obviously, they just lost to the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, seven in a game seven. You know, they only won three games. They started out that series going 3-0, or 0-3, I should say. They didn't win the first three games. All the Heat had to do was win one game, and the Boston Celtics were able to extend that series all the way up until game seven. I think they played well. You know, I give them credit for being able to keep themselves alive. I think that you have to remember, in an NBA series, and this is playoff basketball, guys, this isn't a regular season, it's hard enough to beat a team four times in a series. It's hard enough to beat a team four times. And in the Boston Celtics position, you had to do it four times in a row. It's that even more harder. I mean, because essentially you have to be flawless. And this is a Boston Celtics team that, through history of last year and what we've seen this year, has proven they can be good, but they can be bad. They can be bad. And they've struggled, and we've seen it before. You know, unfortunately, Jason Tatum, he gets hurt right in the beginning of Game 7. I don't think that helped. You know, that obviously threw off their rhythm and required other guys to be able to step up and produce. They didn't do it. You know, they weren't able to get it done. So, where do we go from here? Looking at this Boston Celtics team, we're hearing all these reports this week. Trade Jaylen Brown. Did it tear up the team? To both of those, I say no. Did they start trading parts of this team? I say no. Did they trade Jaylen Brown? No. I think this Celtics team, currently constructed, I mean, I know we got the summer coming up. I think Al Horford's like a restricted free agent or unrestricted. And there's a couple other guys that just don't have it in front of me. I think this Boston Celtics team that just lost, that we just watched, losing this Eastern Conference Finals, has enough to win an NBA championship, to win the title. I think so. I think what it's going to take with this current roster that they have constructed, they have enough to win a title. I think what it's going to take is guys like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, that need to come together. They need to have a one-on-one off the court. You know, and I'm pretty sure they've had plenty. I think they need to have another one. And they need to really sit down and talk about what it's going to take to put this team over the hump. I think they're a great tandem. I wouldn't get rid of Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown understands his role. I think Jason Tatum also understands his role. I think the both of them also understand what they mean to this team. I think it's going to take for these two guys to be able to take their game to another level. That's really what I think. I don't believe what they could get for trading Jaylen Brown and bringing another player into that team, I don't think will be as good as keeping Jaylen Brown. I mean, even, you know, I don't even know who's available this free agent market. I have to look at it again. I haven't really had a chance to look at it in greater detail, but you got to say to yourself, even if they were to trade him, you know, or, you know, even if they were to let him go and not give him the max contract that he wants, what are the assets? What can you gain for him? And I don't think there's much at all. And a big factor, again, that a lot of people don't talk about, I'm going to say it now, chemistry. I say it all the time. You cannot underplay chemistry. You can't. It's so important. And if you think I'm lying, look at that Boston Celtics team for that year and a half that Al Horford was gone. When he went to Philadelphia 76ers, he went to Oklahoma City Thunder, and they brought him back. Why? Because, again, one, he's a veteran presence. And then two, just what it is that he means to that team, what it is that he means to that group of guys that they've assembled there. Chemistry. You can't underplay chemistry, guys. Not at all. I think guys like Joe Mazzulla, the head coach, did a wonderful job considering the fact that this team had a tumultuous start to their season. You know, and he got them all the way to a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Did they win? Obviously, you know, was the way that they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, it wasn't a hard-fought loss. I think that that team, that Boston Celtics team, should have never let themselves get down 0-3 in that series, you know, to that Miami Heat team. So, I mean, that obviously is a blemish. But, hey, like I said, he got them all the way to an Eastern Conference Finals. And like I said, as a brand-new coach, we know what happened last summer with Ime Udoka, and they still made it to where they made it. So I think Joe Mazzulla, again, I tip my hat off to you, brother. I think he did what he was supposed to do. And they'll make adjustments going forward. This team has enough, guys. Last year, I complained about them not having a point guard who can run their offense. They brought in Malcolm Brogdon. He's a point guard. Now Mazzulla, he decided to go with Marcus Smart. You know, but they have point guards, guys. The bench is okay. You know, I think the only thing that I would tweak is maybe adding another guy who can give you minimally another additional 15 points a night, I'd say. Robert Williams, Grant Williams, you know, these guys aren't bad. But again, at least another scorer who can give you at least 15. Yeah. A wing or a guard or something. I mean, even doesn't have to be a wing or a guard, but even a big. But at least I'd say another solid 15 points. And it doesn't always have to be 15, but I'd say ballpark. You'll need that going into the finals. You'll need that going into the playoffs, I should say. And on my last point about the Celtics, you guys got to find a way to run your plays, man, or create some plays to run if you don't have them run already. There's too much one-on-one. Every time you see Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum coming down, they're trying to beat their defender, you know, to get to the basket or get the shot that they want. There's too much one-on-one with this Celtics team, guys. Figure it out. Figure it out. Because guess what? The one-on-one, it's work sometimes, but not every time. And when it doesn't work, they lose. They lose. Too much one-on-one. Run something. Moving on, guys, here to my last point in what's on my mind that I wanted to share with you today. A lot of new head coaches that have been hired recently in the last couple weeks. The Philadelphia 76ers picking up Nick Nurse. Phoenix Suns going with Frank Vogel. Milwaukee Bucks going with Adrian Griffin. Starting with the Milwaukee Bucks, Adrian Griffin, I don't know a lot about. I know he was with the Toronto Raptors for the last couple years as an assistant coach. He won a championship with them in 2019 when they won with Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, all those guys. And I know right now the Bucks are looking to assemble the rest of that staff. I think Terry Stotts, who used to coach Damian Lillard in the Blazers, has agreed to come on as an assistant coach. You know, so I'm happy that a minority was hired for the position. You know, I wish him nothing but the best. I think that this Milwaukee Bucks team, again, has some questions to answer. I think Brooke Lopez is a free agent this summer. You know, you got to look at, you know, where's Giannis's head at in terms of if he still wants to stay in Milwaukee, which I think he does. I don't really see Giannis as a guy who wants to go team up with other players. He's pretty much has been vocal about that in the past. And you got to assess your core that you're looking at. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, you know, are these guys going to be enough to be able to put you over the hump to compete in that Eastern Conference in a way that you want to? I know they got kicked out in the first round, obviously. They lost to the Miami Heat. I know Giannis missed, I'd say, at least 2.5 games as a result of an injury. You know, so that definitely, I think, you know, affected a few things. But to only win one game against that Miami Heat team, to me, even with that roster that's currently constructed, to me, that didn't sit well with me. Nah, I think you got to do better than that. You got to figure that one out. Yeah. You know, you got to look at a guy like Chris Middleton, who's kind of looked at as being the Robin to Giannis on that team, who's considered Batman. Is he enough, you know, as a second option for your team? You know, is his output still going to be enough? There's a lot of questions for this Bucks team. I think the coaching is very important, yes, but definitely got to look at that roster as well. I'm going to jump to Philadelphia 76ers and Nick Nurse. I like Nick Nurse, a great basketball mind. That's another team as well. I would say you have to, I read a report the other day that he's really encouraging James Harden to stay, you know, that he really wants him to be a part of that team. I got to be honest with you guys, I've been bouncing back and forth on that one, on the James Harden one. The reason why that is because I think to me it's clear that James Harden is not the player that he used to be. I think he has the capability of being a scorer, not on the level that we remember him being in Houston. But I think, yes, he can still score. I mean, and we saw a couple games in the playoffs where he had, you know, some pretty high number games, as he, you know, quote unquote, says his number was called. I think, you know, I'm looking at James Harden's age. I'm looking at a Philadelphia 76ers team that wants to win now. I'm looking at a young guy in Tyrese Maxey who I haven't heard this yet. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I think is confident in himself. Can really play some basketball. And I really think his game would go to a new level if he were to be the primary option as a guard without James Harden in the picture. However, again, if Philadelphia lets James Harden walk, much like what I was saying before about the Celtics and Jaylen Brown, what can you get to replace James Harden? Because don't forget, before James Harden, that was Ben Simmons, who you were paying nearly $30 million a year before you let him go to Portland, before you traded him to Brooklyn. So, this Philadelphia 76ers, and their supporting cast, I think, could improve as well. Pretty subpar. I mean, I really don't think they had enough options in terms of, in terms of being able to keep that team afloat, you know, apart from Joel Embiid, apart from Harden, and just some of the other guys I mentioned. Tobias Harris, he's another one you kind of have to look at. I think Tobias Harris as well, he's a guy who I would say, in my opinion, can still play, can still give you a lot offensively, but because his number is not as called, he appears to have dropped off, we would say, as a result of the way he's played in the last couple of years. You know, but is there maybe a way that Nick Nurse can maybe be able to utilize him going forward, you know, to get the best output out of Tobias? And that might even help to lower some of the pressure on Joel Embiid, on James Harden. A lot of different questions with that Sixers team, guys. I'm just not sure yet where to go with it. But a lot of different questions. And then the final matchup, or the final hiring here that I mentioned, I think there were some other ones, but these are the three that just jumped out to me the most. The Phoenix Suns picking up Frank Vogel, who obviously won a championship with the Lakers in 2020. This one, I don't know. Frank Vogel, not a bad guy. Obviously, we know he's pretty heavy on defense. His teams tend to be within the top five in defense per year as he coaches. I think this Phoenix Suns team as well, you're going to have to kind of establish you know, who's going to be the focal point of your offense. You know, you obviously have a great roster and got with guys like DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Chris Paul. You're going to have to be able to decide who's going to be your focal point. You got to decide, is Cameron Payne enough as your backup point guard? Because obviously Chris Paul has continued to prove to us that his health is going to continue to be a factor for him in terms of whether or not he's going to be able to stay on the floor. So you got to think about that. DeAndre Ayton, what's going to be the best way to be able to utilize him, that he continues to feel like an important part of this offense. We're going to get the best production out of him, but also making sure that we can get our stars going in Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. And then I would say, other than that, the only other thing I would add is maybe, you know, just getting some better role players, you know, who you guys can be confident in. It really shocked me that Monty Williams didn't really use his bench as much as he did. I still don't understand what the reasoning was behind that. I'm very curious. And congrats to him. He just got a head coaching job in Detroit, which I think is a great group of guys. A lot of young guys who are still coming up, just trying to make an identity for themselves. So I think it's a great place to be for him. And I think he'll have a lot to be able to pour into them. I'm just curious. You know, this is a Phoenix team as well that's looking to kind of win now and make the use of a Kevin Durant, who I think is pushing 35, I think, now at this point. You got obviously Chris Paul, who's closer to 40, than 30 now. There's a lot of different things that they have to look at. They have to look at as well for the organization. So, you know, a lot of these teams. This is the one thing I don't like about the NBA. Let me just say this as a whole: is yes, they will fire a coach before they decide to trade a player. And I understand that's just the nature of the business, but sometimes you have to wonder: is it really more so, you know, is it a player? Is it roster construction, you know, more so than it is the coach? And I mean, if that is the case, you know, because I feel like if we're going to talk about, if I can give you an example, I feel like the 76ers, we know they just got rid of, they fired Doc Rivers. I feel like the issue for the 76ers is they didn't show up in that game 7 against the Boston Celtics in the second round. They didn't show up. James Harden was absolutely horrific. Joel Embiid was subpar. They didn't show up. Your stars didn't show up. I mean, and that game essentially was over in the first half. You gave up 50 points to Jason Tatum in a game 7. Nah, man. Doc Rivers gets fired, obviously, because he's going to take the greater portion of the blame here for the way things had transpired. But, you know, there's a lot of things you got to look at in Philly as well in terms of, you know, did your stars show up? Looking at the current roster that's constructed. A lot of different questions. A lot of different questions. It will be an interesting offseason, as always, in my own personal opinion. All right, guys. Moving in here to our final segment. It is the line segment. It's my favorite segment. It really is. I love this portion because I believe, for those of you guys that are new, and again, I want to encourage you to subscribe if you haven't subscribed before. This is 94 Feet with your host, B.O.D., here with you guys. We talk about all things sports, mainly basketball, but we do get into some other sports as well. Sports is great, guys. For those of you guys that are new and you're trying to figure out where am I going with this, sports is great. I love sports. You know, it helps to bring out the competitive nature in all of us. But I think what's most important is that when you guys leave, that you leave with something that's also going to help you win in the game of life. It's important that you guys leave with some kind of wisdom, some kind of guidance, some kind of recommendation. So my line for the point of today, my point of focus is going to be patience. And it is a word that is not my favorite word, patience. And it's not my favorite because it is a skill. It is an action that I have to work at daily. Daily. Every single day of my life. Patience. Not the most easiest thing. And I'll be honest with you guys. The reason why I decided to go with patience is I've been observing just the current season of my life that I'm in right now individually. And it's required me to, I wouldn't necessarily say let go. There's always a little bit of, when you grow, and no matter what fashion, there's always something you have to let go of. But I would definitely say it's put me in a position where I've had to remain patient, you know, just for some of the things that I personally have seen for my life, some of the things that I personally have dreamt of internally that I've seen in my heart for myself. And sometimes in the waiting, guys, it's very easy to think that maybe you've lost it. It's very easy to think that it's never going to come to pass. It's very easy to think that I've messed up. kind of thing, and maybe I did something wrong. But I think it's also important to understand there's growth even in the seasons where we remain patient. There's growth even in the seasons when we have to continue to wait. And that's not always easy. And the reason why I know it's not easy is because I'm talking to you about what I'm going through right now. It's not always easy. You know, and you think you have everything made out. You know what it is that you want for yourself. But I know that there is a benefit on the other end of this whole patience thing. And I know that there's growth, even though it doesn't necessarily feel like it. I want to share with you guys also some words I got from my boss the other day in a meeting. And she talked about how many times as humans, we label growth or advancement in our lives as going from one position in a ladder to a higher one, or one position in a triangle to another one. And that's what we call growth. That's what we call advancement. That's what we call promotion, or that we're doing well. And sometimes she talked about we have to learn to appreciate maybe not necessarily moving up the ladder, but maybe moving to the side of the ladder as a step of growth, you know, as a step forward to where it is that we're going. And again, a lot easier said than done. And I can say that because I know this. I know what I'm talking about. I'm going through it right now. So I put together here just three quick bullet points, guys. What are the benefits of patience? Real easy for you. One, it can help us to avoid making foolish mistakes, making foolish decisions. Two, I think it helps to bring organization in life. If you guys ever realize when we act without thinking, when we act without maybe rationalizing something, a lot of times patience is not involved. We're not being patient. We're being reactionary, which is not good in most cases. And then my third point for you guys, what's another benefit of patience? It helps us to maintain our peace. Your peace is so important, guys. Your peace is so important. If you have to do things in a way that's, you know, catastrophic, in a way that's dysfunctional or reckless, it's not healthy. And you may be able to get by like that for a little bit, but eventually it's going to come to a point, guys, where it makes you feel like you're going crazy, which is not good. Not good. Just keeping it straightforward for you. So I speak to all you guys that are in a position right now that have dreams, that have goals, different things that you're, you know, maybe hoping for your own lives, for your family, professionally, personally, spiritually, no matter what it may be, remain patient. Remain patient. Write down the dream. Write down the goal. Continue to pursue it and wait for it. Do what you have to do right now to be able to take steps forward to approach and see that dream come to full fruition. And that's what I got for you guys today here on 94 Feet. Guys, it's always a pleasure to be on here with you. Definitely got some more content I'm going to be coming with probably in about, 2 weeks. Definitely want to get back on here. I want to talk more about some of the coaching changes. I want to talk about John Morant, who obviously has been in the news a lot lately. And we probably will have a verdict in terms of where things are going forward for him lately. And we'll see if we have some results here from our NBA Finals as well, guys. So hang in there. As always, your host, B.O. Dita, here with you guys. Always a pleasure. I'm out. Talk to you soon.